Good morning, Harvest. Thank you for joining us for worship today. As the children make their way out to Harvest Kids for some age-appropriate teaching, I invite you to go ahead and grab your Bibles and join me in John chapter 13 this morning. John chapter 13. And by the way, my name is Jason, if we haven't met. I'm one of the pastors here at Harvest. It's really good to see you today. And if you didn't get a chance, let me just remind you, when you came in, you probably got a bulletin. And please notice the bottom section of your bulletin. I would invite you, if you haven't already, if there's a prayer request, some way that we could serve you, anything like that, go ahead and take a minute and fill that out. And great way for you to get connected with the church and find out what God is doing here at Harvest. And on the front, you probably notice there's also some place there to take some notes. And so we're going to be in John chapter 13. We're concluding the Uncommon Community Sermon Series, where Jesus changes everything. And we do have some visitors here this morning. And so let me just say this. During the last... Man, has it been since August? August, September, October, we're now at the very end of November. We've been going through this Uncommon Community Sermon Series, looking at the one another's of the New Testament. And we've been studying, trying to find out what indeed makes a God-honoring church uncommon, all right, as a community of faith. What makes it uncommon? And week in, week out, we've been challenged from God's Word, looking at the one another's of the New Testament, what it means to forgive one another, what it means to serve one another, what it means to love one another, what it means to be devoted to one another. And so today we're going to look at love one another, but kind of specifically what it means to love one another without condition, all right? And that's going to be what's before us here in John chapter 13, verse 31 and following. This is such a powerful verse. Some of you know this passage. And as we get into this, I just want to remind you, as a church, like, this is what we're going for, all right? And I'm going to read the passage for us in just a minute, but I want you to pay attention that this is what we're trying to do. Our commitment is to love you, and our commitment is to love one another. And as we do that together, I'm telling you this, that will make this community very, very, very uncommon. And I know this is Pastor Scott's heart. I'm so thankful for that. I trust that this is your commitment as well. And so with that, why don't we take a look at it together? Notice there, John chapter 13. I invite you to stand with me as we read God's Word. It's great to stand, isn't it? Just give attention to the reading of God's Word. And so notice there, John 13, 31, I'll read it. When they had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also magnify him in himself and glorify him at once. Little children, yet a little while I am with you, and you will seek me. And just as I said to the Jews, so now I also say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another." Love one another just as I have loved you. And so you are to love one another. "And by this," Jesus says, "all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." And so why don't we pray together? Father in heaven, we thank you for your word this morning, Lord. And we know that your word is truth. And so right now we speak. I am speaking to you in prayer. And God, I'm asking for us that you would speak to us today through your sacred scriptures. So much so that when we leave today, that we could leave so as changed men and women and children. And so as always, we invite you into this place, O Lord. We invite you, Holy Spirit, to do what only you can do. Help me to be faithful to the word. And would you bring about conviction and, and encouragement and change so that we could glorify our Savior Jesus. Be present here, we ask in your name, O Lord. Amen. Amen. Go ahead and grab a seat. And so I just want to say this from the forefront. This is not a corrective message. This is really an encouragement. I think we do a great job at loving one another here at the church. And for those of you who are nailing it in this area, I just want to encourage you. I want to stir you up by way of reminder. For the others of you, as we look at this, maybe you'll notice that there is a little bit of gap between where you are this morning and where the Lord would have you be. And that's okay, isn't it? Allow the conviction to come. Allow that gap to be closed. And would we together return to our commitment to love one another without condition? And so notice there, three ways that we can love without condition, all right? The first one is directed to the Lord. The second two directed to us as his followers. So you got to get the vertical part right with us and God before we can do the horizontal part towards one another. Make sense? God first, one another second. And so notice there, first point is this. We love without condition when our love for the Lord seeks his glory. All right. And Jason, where do you come up with this stuff? I got to know. Well, notice there in verse 31. Once again, it says this, when he had gone out. All right. And so maybe you're wondering, who's the he? What's going on here? What's the context of the passage? I'm not really sure. Jason, who's the he? And so notice up there, would you? Right above chapter 13, there's a subject heading in your Bible, right above verse 1. Chapter 13, verse 1. Do you guys see it? What does your chapter heading say? What does it say? Jesus, yeah, that's exactly what mine says. Jesus washes his disciples' feet. And so where does this place us? What's the context here? This places us in the upper room, right? And so that means Jesus, his time is now ticking. It's the Lord's Supper time. That kind of places us. That's the time stamp. Jesus, hours probably, away from being betrayed, his crucifixion coming, all of that is taking place. That means this is Passion Week. This is the week that Jesus died for our sins. This is the week that Jesus conquered death for our salvation. All of that happening here in John chapter 13. In fact, notice there, it says in verse 1, now before the feast of Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, had come to depart out of the world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world. I really love the last part of verse 1, don't you? It says that he loved them to the end. That's another way of saying it. It's like Jesus loved them to the max. Like Jesus loved them to full capacity. Jesus loved them in a way that only God can do. That's how the Lord loves his own. And as we get to our passage now, verse 31 and following, mind you, Judas, he is now gone, door closed. He has left. It says in verse 30, Judas went out immediately and it was night. Very next verse, verse 31, our verse, when he had gone out. And so that's referring to Judas, right? That's referring to Judas. When Judas had gone out, Jesus said, now the Son of Man is glorified. And God is glorified in him. And if God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and glorify him at once. Did you guys notice how many times the word glory, glorify came up in that very short passage? We love without condition when our love for the Lord seeks his glory. And then notice there, verse 33, little children. It's like an endearing term that Jesus would use with his disciples. Little children, yet I am with you. It's just a little while. And so once again, we're talking hours, probably not minutes, but hours. Betrayal coming. Peter denying. Crucifixion, it's on its way. We're all very close. Yet a little while I am with you, Jesus says, and you will seek me. And just as I said to the Jews, so now I will say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. And so once again, kind of the big idea here of the first few verses is we love without condition when our love for the Lord seeks his glory. Which really begs the question, doesn't it, for those of us who are followers of Jesus Christ this morning? And I pray that that's each and every one of us. But certainly there's some guests in the room. There's some of us that maybe have been attending a church for a long time, and so I wouldn't presume that. But for the Christian this morning, what is our primary preoccupation? Like, what's the one thing in the Christian job description that we must do? Like, what's one of those things that's sort of expected as a follower of Jesus Christ? And as we're going to see in a minute, our primary preoccupation ought to be loving one another. And love specifically that the Lord would be glorified first, vertically, right with God, then next, horizontally with one another as followers of Jesus. And so as we talk about glory here, we saw it come up, right? Verse 32, verse 31, it comes up many times. As we talk about glorifying God, as we talk about God being glorified or glory, what does that mean, Jason? It's talking about the Lord being honored. It's talking about the Lord being high and lifted up. It's talking about the Lord being adored. It's talking about Jesus being worshipped. That's what we're talking about when we talk about glory. And by glorified, we're talking about Jesus being honored and worshipped and lifted up. That's why we're saved. And so love, you guys listening? Love for the Christian is what identifies us. That's what makes us stand out. That's what Jesus is teaching in this passage. But for this kind of love to happen, it's like not something that we can create. It's not something that we can manifest. It's not just something that we do. It's something that God gifts us with. It's really a fruit of the Holy Spirit, isn't it? Isn't it? True or false? It's a fruit of the Holy Spirit. And so for us to love in the way that God is teaching here, it requires us to be made new. It requires us to have faith in Jesus Christ. It requires regeneration. It requires a new birth. It requires us to be born again. Amen? Requires that we are saved. It requires a conversion. It means that we have that supernatural miracle by which we turn to Jesus by faith. He saves us from our sins. And then God in his grace, he seals us. He gives us his Holy Spirit. And then that's what makes this kind of love possible for you and for me as his followers and as his children. It's a miracle. Only God can do it. It begins with, how does it start? It begins when you and I come to the point where we understand, where we recognize. Maybe some of you haven't got to this point yet, but it's coming to that point where we start to realize, we start to connect the dots about Jesus. We start to realize that, man, God is holy. And, you know, as I look at my life, I realize that I'm not like him. And the truth is I fall short in many ways, and God is high and lifted up. I see that now. I believe that God is big and strong and mighty. I look at my life, and it's a little bit of a mess. I fall short. I'm now recognizing to some degree that I'm a sinner. And as I recognize that I'm a sinner, I start to realize that there's a problem. My relationship with God is fractured to some degree. And so I'm now accepting that, and I'm believing. I believe that Jesus, I don't maybe necessarily understand the whole thing, but I believe that Jesus is God. I believe that he is all that he said he is. I believe that Jesus died for my sins. And so I believe in that, and I'm trusting in that for my salvation. I believe that Jesus died for my sins. I believe that Jesus conquered death for my salvation. And I confess you now, Lord. I follow you. I declare my allegiance to you. You are my God. I repent of my sins. I turn to you, Jesus, by faith. And so as we come to that point, that's when we are sort of adopted into God's family. That's when we are born again. That's when regeneration takes place. It's a miracle from heaven. It's a miracle that only God can perform in our life. That's when we are sealed with the Holy Spirit. That's when sanctification takes place in a moment and then continues progressively throughout the rest of our life until Jesus takes us home. And so this kind of love that we're talking about this morning is impossible unless you first come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it's a love for the Lord first. It's a love for God's glory. And then, and only then, is it a love for His people. And it'll happen because God gives us the capacity to do so. And I mean, verse 31 and 32 is so clear, isn't it? 33, we're talking about the Lord's glory. And it's a love and it's a passion for God's glory that He would be high and lifted up and worshipped. And now, then notice here verse 34. Here's the second point, if you like to take notes. Here it is. We love without condition when our love seeks one another's well-being. Okay? Notice there, verse 34. So this is a new commandment, Jesus says. It's a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. What does it say there? What does it say? That you also love one another. You guys looking at this? This is gold. What does it say? Last part. What does it say? You also are to love one another. This is our Lord saying this, church. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another. Do it. Love one another, Jesus says. Just as I have loved you, so you are to love one another. And isn't it interesting here that Jesus says this is a new commandment? You guys notice that in the first part? It's a new commandment. Why is it new? What does He mean it's new? Like, doesn't this kind of come up in the Old Testament? What does He mean by new commandment? Wasn't there a command to love like a long time ago? Like maybe the first five books of the Bible? Doesn't it talk about this somewhere? How is it new? Yes, it does talk about this. Way back in the Pentateuch. Talking about loving your neighbor, talking about loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Strong command to love. To some degree, familiar teaching. And so why is it a new command? Several reasons. I got four. Maybe there's more. Number one, here's several reasons why this is a new commandment. Number one, first of all, the Jews weren't doing it. Okay? They were missing the mark. They maybe had the information, maybe like some of us this morning. We have the information of God's word, but it hasn't really transformed us. And so maybe it's familiar, but we're not doing it. So in that sense, it's new. Jews didn't do it. It was new to them. They were full of animosity. They're full of bitterness. They're full of jealousy. Number two, the disciples didn't exhibit it. Not long before this, you guys remember the conversation that they're arguing like, who's going to be greatest? It's going to be me. No, it's going to be me. And they're like missing it. They're missing it. Number three, the Lord had just set a new example that demonstrated a kind of love that had never been demonstrated before. How did He do it? He did it by washing His disciples' feet. And then fast forward a few hours, He's going to be crucified. He's going to go to the cross and die for their sins. It's a magnificent display of love. So the Lord sets a new example. Fourthly, they would have a new capacity to love in this way because God, the Father, would send God the Holy Spirit to come with them, to come into their hearts and give them, to enable them to love in this way. And so in that sense, this is a brand spanking new commandment. All right? And so that's what Jesus is saying. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, so also you are to love one another. Notice there, verse 34. Just as I have loved you, so you also are to love one another. Verse 35, by this all people will know. Do you guys see it there? By this all people will know that you are my disciples. If. Do you guys see the if? Am I making the if up? If you have love for one another. And so, Christian, listen up. If you want to demonstrate that you indeed are a follower of Jesus, how do you do it? How do you do it? By loving, right? I feel like half of us are getting it. Are we all getting it? Are we all getting it? It's like, it's not hard though, right? It's kind of right before us, right? It's like right here. It's like so clear. How do you demonstrate that you are a Christian? By this, all people will know if you have love for one another. Your love will do it. It's love. We love without condition when we seek one another's well-being. That's how the world will know. And so when we talk about new life in Christ, how do we demonstrate that? It can't be just talk. We demonstrate it with our actions. Amen? It's love. It's to love one another. By this all people know that you're my disciples if you have love for one another. Is it just love, though? Is it just love? Is it just love? It's just love. I mean, that's what the Lord is saying. Now, here's the deal. I think that we as primarily English speakers sort of miss out on the nuances of what Jesus is saying here with the English word love. Maybe for you this morning, when you think of love, I don't know, maybe you think of your romance novels, poetry, I don't know. Maybe you think of Taylor Swift and Justin Bieber. Like, they know a lot about love. But they don't. Certainly not the kind of love that Jesus is talking about here. But it's the same word, love, love, love. But it's not what Jesus is talking about here. None of that is the kind of love the Lord is talking about. It's not the kind of love that we're getting at. When I say we love without condition, when we seek one another's well-being. And so in English, we primarily have one word for love, but in the original language in which Scripture is written, there's several, three, maybe more words for love. And I trust that you've probably been taught this before. The kind of love that we're talking about here is the, do you guys know what kind of love it is? It's the agape form of love, exactly. It's the sacrificial, it's dying to myself, it's the supernatural kind of love. That's what's being talked about here. It's the unselfish kind. It's the you before me, not based on how I feel. It's a God-enabled, it's a supernatural kind of love. Only God can help me do this kind of love. It's a powerful kind of love. That's the kind of love that Jesus is talking about. That's why he says it's a new commandment. And that's what we're going for as a church family. And that's what will make this community uncommon. Amen? If we love the Lord in this way, as we are filled with his Spirit. And that's powerful. In fact, as we do this, the world is going to know that we are indeed followers of Jesus Christ. Imagine the impact that's going to have for visitors, for a neighborhood. It's going to be powerful. I love what it says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 13. By this we know that we abide in him. How do we know that we abide in him? By this we know that we abide in him. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. Like, how do we know that God abides in me? How do I know I have this supernatural, born-again, new life in Christ experience? How do I know that God has saved me? What evidence do I look for? By this we know that we abide in him, if we love one another. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. That's how you can tell. That's how you can tell. It goes towards our Lord, vertical, first, and it goes towards others, horizontally. It's amazing. I could give you so many examples of this in the New Testament. I came up with four of my favorite, where Jesus loves in this sacrificial way. You mind if I share them with you? Maybe examples will help just kind of clarify this for us. Here we go. Best examples of Jesus' unconditional love. All right? Maybe they're not your favorite, but I love them. Such great examples. Here's the first one. Do you guys remember It's not long after this, by the way. Not long after this, Jesus in the garden, pray for me. They're falling asleep. Jesus is arrested. Hey, Peter, do you know Jesus? No, I don't. Three times he says this. Do you guys remember that? What a great example of Jesus' love. You remember what happens next after Peter denied the Lord? It says in John chapter 21 that our Lord reinitiated a relationship with Peter, and then he fully restored him in love following Peter's threefold denial. And so if you understand love, you understand, well, it's not necessarily based so much on how you feel, as pop culture and songs teach us today, but it's based on reality. It's based on truth. It's based on God's word. It's based on an act of your will. It's sacrificial, seeking their good, not my own. It's a remarkable example of love, isn't it, that our Lord has for Peter? It's water under the bridge, Peter. Forget about it. And he reinitiates that relationship with him. It's an amazing example of love. It's unconditional. It's a love that's not based on the other person's performance. Do you realize that a lot of our problems in interpersonal relationships is because we love based on their performance? And when they don't perform, my love ceases to be demonstrated towards them. It's true, right? It's true. Most of the problems in your relationships this morning, do you realize this? It's because your love is based on their performance. And so maybe you're not talking to your sister this morning because she hurt your feelings. It just happened on Thursday. But she left abruptly. I don't know if I'll see her at Christmas or not. Right? Maybe it's a sibling. Maybe it's a friend. Most of our conflict in relationships is because we love based on the other person's performance. And when they don't perform, the relationship is fractured. Jesus doesn't love that way. All right, here's another example. I love this. How about Jesus' relationship with the betraying Judas? How about when Jesus allows Judas to remain in his intimate circle of friends? The Lord knew, but he allowed him to remain. Even though Jesus knew of Judas's dishonest gain, even stealing from the treasury. You guys realize that? Guy's a pickpocket. We find out in John chapter 12, verse 6, John 13, verse 29, Judas is stealing. Of course, his future betrayal, unconditional love. It's a love not based on Judas's performance. It's supernatural. It's God-enabled. How about when Jesus washed his disciples' feet? Dirty feet. The context, greater context of our passage today. It's love. It's love. He even washed Judas's feet. That's love. He would wash Peter's feet, denied him, washed them. He would wash his disciples' feet even though they would run away from him. It's an amazing kind of love. It's unconditional love. This one's so good. You guys remember the parable of the prodigal son? You guys know that account? So you have the prodigal son, and man, he's just living a reckless, wild life. But what about the father? What about the father? The father was there with a big, warm embrace to his son when he came home. Long-suffering, steadfast, unconditional love for his wayward son. Like, what a great example. Isn't that for us, church? Isn't it? Steadfast, long-suffering. That's it. Never ending. Never getting up, giving up. My boy's going to come home, and when he is, I'm going to be ready. Not punishing him. But there to kiss him and give him a hug. It's amazing. I love what Apostle Paul says to the Corinthians. You guys know the chapter? Chapter 13. Kind of the love chapter, maybe it was read at your wedding. It's great for church family relationships, though. You guys know it? 1 Corinthians 13. Here's another passage. Let me read it. Summarizes our love for each other in the body of Christ. It's not just husband-wife. Listen to this. Love is patient. God-enabled, supernatural love that we're seeing here this morning, this agape form of love. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. Love is not arrogant. Love is not rude. Love never insists on its own way. Love never insists on its own way. It is not irritable. I'm not making this up. Love is not irritable. Hey, make sure my wife is listening right now. Make sure my husband's paying attention. Would you look at him? Love is not irritable. Love is not resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing. It rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things. I'm telling you, this is what makes a community of faith highly uncommon. It's so uncommon. It's so uncommon. It's so uncommon. Love bears all things. Love believes all things. Love hopes all things. Love endures all things. Love never ends. It never ends. Never ends. That's what we're going for when we love without condition. And so, how is this kind of love going with you? Are you this kind of man or woman, student? Do you love in this way? The kind of love that we're being instructed in this morning, where you seek another's well-being before yourself? Do you love your family in this way? Sometimes loving our family is the hardest thing. Do you love your husband or wife in this way? Your children? Maybe they're grown up. Maybe you have grandchildren now. Do you love them in this way, regardless of the decisions that they make? What about your church family? How about us here at Harvest Bible Chapel, Winter Garden? You know, I hate to say this, and I'll just be transparent with you. I've been a Christian now for going on 20 years. I've been a pastor for about a decade. Been in ministry over a decade, full-time for about a decade. And the people that have hurt me the most are not baby Christians. The people that hurt me the most are not people that aren't Christians. The people that have hurt me the most are followers of Jesus Christ, and many of them have attended church for a very long time. Most of the time, it's been people with sound theology and good doctrine. And they have a lot of truth, but they're deficient when it comes to love. And I don't believe that honors the Lord at all. I hope that's not your experience. So do you love without condition? You know, there's 1,000 things that we can do in this life really, really well, but if we're failing at love, we fail. Right? Can do a lot of things great. Can do a lot of things good. We fail at love, we fail. And so I'm not pointing fingers this morning. I'm just asking some hard questions. Maybe you're beginning to see a gap between where you are and where the Lord would have you. And if you're honest, you probably do. I would just invite you to be transparent now with the Lord. Allow confession to take place. And Holy Spirit, would you close that gap? Would I recommit myself today to loving in this very uncommon way? And I can't do it, Lord, and so would you produce it in me, fill me with your Holy Spirit, and could I love my fill in the blank this way? And chances are each of us in our life have 1, 2, maybe 3 people where this is extraordinarily difficult to apply. And so, Lord, I'm before you now, and I'm just asking you to close that gap. Allow the confession to take place and with the Holy Spirit producing you what you can't on your own. I have a few more minutes. Why don't we look at verse 36 and following? This is kind of like a negative example of what we're going for, but I think it's still very instructive. Here's a third perspective on this kind of love. It's personal. It's a love that's defined by my own loyalty and faithfulness. It's really a warning to Peter, but applies to us as well. Notice there, verse 36. We love without condition when our love causes us to be faithful to one another. There's a faithfulness. There's a loyalty. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, where are you going? Jesus answered him, where I'm going, you cannot follow me now, but you will follow me afterward. 37, Peter answered him, Lord, why can I not follow you now? I will lay my life down for you. And those words would, not long from now, they would haunt Peter. I mean, it's a nice try, but he fails. And he fails big not long after this. And so let's talk about what it means to be a disciple. Being a disciple is more than promised loyalty and good intentions. And so maybe even here this morning, you're like, okay, so my heart's kind of a bit warm now, and like I really want to do it. And this difficult relationship, maybe this strained interpersonal relationship that I have, maybe it's with a family member, maybe they're even here right now in this room and it's a little bit awkward and I feel like I got to do something about it. Discipleship is more than promised loyalty and warm feelings and good intentions. It is a permanently practiced faithfulness. Love is a verb. You've heard that. It's an action. It's an action. Peter here, he says some words. It's promised loyalty. And he fails. We love without condition when our love causes us to be faithful to one another. As a disciple, it's a permanently practiced faithfulness to one another and to our Lord, most certainly. Peter tried hard. You got to appreciate his intentions, but in this situation, he failed. And I trust if you're honest this morning, you have a handful of examples just like this where you can say, man, I've got it wrong here and here and here. Oh my goodness, and here. And once again, it's recommitting yourself. It's renewing that commitment. It's deciding for yourself once again. I'm going to honor the Lord in this way. And right now, it's very hard with my father or my in-law, whoever it is, or my stepbrother or my friend or that neighbor or coworker, whatever that relationship is for you. The truth is there's a very high price to pay for love. Right? The kind of love that we're talking about this morning. It's very costly to love in this way. High cost to love the way that the Lord is teaching us. It's expensive. It's costly. It doesn't run away when the going gets tough. It doesn't quit. It doesn't give up. It's steadfast. It's faithful. It's enduring. It's like the father for his prodigal son. Such a great example of our Father's love for us. He's our example to follow, church. Just a minute ago, I read for you the love that Apostle Paul shared with the Corinthians. In Corinthians chapter 13, it says at the very end of verse 8 that I read for you that love never fails, or maybe your translation says love never ends. And like, aren't you glad that biblical love never fails? Aren't you glad? Like, it never ends. It never ends. Thank God. And that's how you know that you're a disciple, if you have love for one another. Maybe you can relate to Peter this morning, and there was a temporary lapse in your love. Maybe this morning you're in a position of a temporary lapse in your love. Return to that love. Be reminded that true love, it never fails. Maybe there's a lapse in the love like Peter. Maybe there's a strained relationship not yet healed or restored. Be reminded, church, that love never ends. Love never fails. It never quits. It never gives up. Maybe this morning there's a husband and wife here. I don't know. Maybe you've been bickering and arguing all week and you're about ready to say enough. Be reminded that love never fails. Love never ends. Maybe you're facing something on the relational front, right? Love is always the way forward. Maybe there's a conflict. I don't know how to resolve it. Be reminded, love is always the prescription. Maybe you have a brother or sister in Christ here and things aren't right with them right now. Be reminded that love is always the solution. Love is always the key. Love is always the way forward. Love is it. Love is the thing. It never fails. Our love causes us to be faithful and loyal to one another. Love never gives up. During times of conflict, love overcomes the conflict. Right? Right? You guys look up here. I feel like nobody's looking at me in the eyes. Man! Nobody's looking at me. It's not that you have to. Maybe you're thinking or praying. I don't know. Maybe you're avoiding the eye contact. All right? Love never fails. Love never fails to overcome misunderstandings. Love never fails, period. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy, does not boast, it does not insist on its own way. It's not irritable, it's not resentful. And now is examination time. Now's the time to bow your head. Now's your time to ask the Lord, Lord, what are you saying to me today through your word? And I would invite you to do just that. If this were a doctor's visit today, and if love is a test, what would we find out about your health? Is this agape kind of love, this biblical love, alive and well in you? Do you produce this unselfish, vertical, supernatural, God-enabled, only God can help me do this kind of love? And do you show it? Do you show it to your wife, husbands? Do you show it to your husbands' wives? Do you show this towards your parents if they're living? Your siblings? What about your church family? How about those among us this morning? Jesus says, greater love has no one than this, that somebody lays down his life for his friends. And so this morning, if you're realizing, man, I don't think I have this kind of love, I would just remind you that Jesus Christ, not long from our passage today, he would go to the cross and he would lay upon himself the sins of the world. And soon he would die as an atoning sacrifice for our forgiveness. That's the gospel. That's our Savior Jesus. He has demonstrated to us a self-sacrificing kind of love, a costly love, a painful love that is demonstrated in his blood. And if you've never trusted in Jesus for your soul's salvation, I invite you to do that today. For those of us who are Christians, my job is simply to stir us up by way of reminder. You probably didn't hear anything new this morning, but like me, you need a frequent reminder. And so with God's help, here's what we're going to do. We're going to love one another, and that will make this community of faith so uncommon. So uncommon, and it'll bless your soul, and it will enrich your family, and it will change your life. And so my prayer this morning is simply this. God, we ask that you would fill us with your Spirit, and that you, Lord, would make this community of faith God-honoring, and Lord, that we could honor you as your children, and we could do so by loving one another. Lord, it saddens me how uncommon this kind of love is. And so our prayer is that this kind of love could be manifest in our homes, and it could be made manifest in our families and in our church. And I pray, God, that this would bear fruit in our lives this week. This week we could see evidence of change as we repent of our sins and return to this conviction and truth. God, we know that with love we can go a long ways, and without it, we have nothing. And so, Lord, fill us once again. And could it be said from our hearts today that we will love one another without condition? In Jesus' good name, amen? Amen? Amen. Why don't we stand together, church?